Further labors. The next afternoon, while I was speaking, he came into the hall again. If I said anything that he agreed with, he would nod his head in approval. And if, on the contrary, I said anything that he did not approve, he would shake his head and begin to talk in an undertone to those near him. I kept right on, as though we did not hear his words of disapproval. But when I began to read the words of Christ in his memorable Sermon on the Mount, "Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so," etc., he jumped to his feet, and with the most frantic gesticulations cried out to Eld. Bordeaux, who was acting as interpreter, "Do you keep the commandments any better than the Pharisees? Answer me." Notwithstanding his repeated demands for an answer, we kept right on with our work just the same, as though nothing had happened, determined that this meeting should not be broken up as the other had been. This was too much for him, and grasping his hat, he rushed out of the hall in a rage. We were then permitted to continue our meeting in peace. The few who were present, instead of being disturbed by what had happened, seemed much strengthened by the words spoken. The Lord has a people here, and if faithful, they will yet see others added to their numbers. When we came to Italy, it was with the desire that we might not only learn something of the habits and customs of the people, and the best means of reaching them, but that we might be the means of strengthening and encouraging the brethren and sisters, and that we might also obtain a little much-needed rest. In the latter, we were somewhat disappointed, although we did enjoy some features of our stay very much. The climate is healthful, the air clear and bracing. Throughout our stay of 3 weeks, the weather was delightful. Although it was December, most of the time we had the doors open as in summer. Several days we spent some time in riding. This was a great luxury to me, especially as I was suffering much with a lame hip and a broken ankle, and was able to walk but little. After the unpleasant interruption in our first two meetings, we felt that there was no assurance that we could hold other meetings in the same hall without similar annoyances, as the one who interrupted the meeting was the owner of the hall. Before the next Sabbath, another hall had been hired, and handbills posted, stating that meetings would be held Friday and Sunday evenings, and Sabbath and Sunday afternoons. The names of the speakers were not announced, but Elder Bordeaux's name was signed to the bill. Judge of our surprise, the next morning after our bills were posted, to see other bills, the same size and style, posted by the side of ours, stating that Elder Miles Grant would hold a series of meetings in a hall directly above ours, on the same days, but at different hours. From a remark made by Elder G. in one of his lectures, it appears that he came to Torre Pellets the same day that we did, but for some reason his arrival was kept quiet, and no announcement of his meetings was made until after our notices had appeared. Friday evening at 7 o'clock, I spoke about 3/4 of an hour from the text, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." At 8 o'clock, Elder G. spoke in the room above. Elder Bordeaux attended, also M. K. White, who took shorthand notes. I did not go, although Elder G. thought I was present, and told the people so, which statement, however, he corrected at the next meeting. His subject the first evening was sanctification, but he could not refrain from mentioning my name. He did so, however, in a very guarded manner. The next night he spoke more freely, and bringing forth the precious dish of slander that he loves so well, he served up to the people in his very best style the rare tidbits that he has been gathering and manufacturing during the last 30 years, as condemning evidence that the visions of Mrs. White are not of God. During all these years, one of the principal burdens of his work seems to have been to follow on my track, and spread these statements which have been manufactured by false witnesses, some of whom had become disaffected because they had been reproved for their wicked course. It has been shown again and again, both by pen and voice, and by the testimony of many witnesses, that these reports have no foundation in truth. But what cares he for this? He loves his falsehoods too well to give them up. And now we are charitable enough to venture the opinion that having repeated them so many times, he really believes many of them to be true, and feels as zealous as ever Saul did, believing that in trying to tear down my influence, he is doing God service. It has ever been against my principle to enter into controversy with anyone or to spend my time in vindicating myself against the attacks of those who do not hesitate to adopt any means to pervert the truth or to cast stigma upon those who stand in defense of the law of God. Nothing would please Satan and his followers better than to have me engage in this work, for then they would give me enough to keep me busy all the time, and thus my real work would be left undone. But this is not the work that God has given me. Years ago, I determined to let nothing draw me from the work of speaking and writing plain Bible truth. Unmoved alike by condemnation or approval, censure or applause, falsehood or flattery, I have not shunned to declare, without partiality and without hypocrisy, the message that God has given me. I have always borne, and trust that I shall ever continue to bear, a plain, decided testimony against sin in the church and out. Here in the valleys, we were among a people who, as a rule, are ignorant of the Bible and of the power of God. Elder Grant had no hold upon them, and they knew little, if anything, of my former life and labors. Then why should I depart from my established custom and spend the precious moments of my stay with this people in vindicating myself? Would it not be better for me to crowd into my talks all the practical religion possible and thus do the people all the good I could? We felt that it would be best to do this, and so it proved. Some who heard Elder G preach went home and told their friends that he had come to quarrel with a woman, that they did not like his spirit, and they wanted no more of such meetings. The report went out that two Adventists had come to the valleys and were quarreling with each other. This was a mistake, as some afterward learned, for there was no response made to his unreasonable and untimely raid. In the 10 discourses that I gave in the valleys, I made no more reference to Elder G than if he had been in his own native state. After giving 4 or 5 discourses, he withdrew to other parts, having accomplished little, if anything. Many who afterward attended our meetings seemed much surprised and pleased with them. They said they had been entirely misinformed in regard to the nature of our meetings, and expressed much regret that they had not attended them all. Sunday afternoon, December 13th, I spoke from the words, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." The best of attention was given. Many thanked me for the good words they had heard. Several of these understood English. In the evening, we had a good, intelligent congregation. The Spirit of God helped me as I tried to present before them the reward of the faithful from the text, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions," etc. At the close of the meeting, nearly all came forward and shook hands with me. One man who could speak English said, "The Lord has been present tonight and assisted by the inspiration of His Spirit in speaking the word." Several expressed an earnest desire for us to remain longer. The interest to hear was certainly much greater than when we first came. Our continual prayer is that the Lord will open the way for the truth to find access to the people of these valleys. I have felt grieved to see them being deceived by men who claim to be teachers of the Bible, but who misinterpret its plainest teachings. But the work is the Lord's, and He can cause even the wrath of men to praise Him. The truth is sure to triumph gloriously, but how and when it is not for us to decide.